America Weekend. Hello, this is Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith, and we are back. A conversation with friends, Roland. Something we introduced here.
Something other than what we're doing.
What we're doing. Yeah, okay. Something I introduced a couple of weeks ago into the broadcast. One of the things that we don't do enough of these days is have conversations with our friends. Conversations in general. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my sister, who reminded me once of a conversation at a dinner. It was a Sunday afternoon dinner with my uncle, who was a remarkably smart man. But the conversation went off into art and various other topics. And my sister remembered that conversation because I was deeply engrossed in it. I must have been about 11 or 12 years old. I was fascinated by his stories of the war, of art collecting, and all my Uncle Nicky, and all these other things. And we went on and on and on. And just he and I would talk. Everyone else just sat there listening. And I remembered that conversation because it was a focal point of my life. It helped me because I was having difficulty with my piano playing at the time. He helped me sort that out a little bit. And the conversation had a certain depth and understanding to it. And it was a conversation with essentially a friend. And it went on for, to my sister's recollection, a couple of hours over my aunt's wonderful espresso coffee, which is magnificent.
You called your uncle your friend.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it went on and on for us. So it was a conversation she reminded me of, but in quick memory, it all came rushing back to me. How wonderfully in-depth and light, and it was laughable. We were laughed, and we cried, and it was wonderful. And it took place on a quiet Sunday afternoon, late spring, somewhere in there. And I remembered that over my aunt's house. Those are the kinds of things that I miss.
I miss. I read something recently where it said, especially as we get older, that one of the most important things to do as you get older is to stay in touch with your friends, your
yes.
old friends.
Correct.
And have that conversation because, you know, we live in a very itinerant society.
Yep.
We move around. We don't forget, but we just don't stay in contact. Like if we lived in the same community, you know, you'd see each other at the general store or
yes.
wherever.
Yes, yes, absolutely true.
And I got a call from a high school buddy of mine who ended up a medical doctor and an admiral in the Navy. And he's been calling me, and I've been calling him more recently in the last several months, more so than we ever did before, because we both agreed that it's nice to stay in touch.
I agree. It is, and it is in that conversation or conversations. You know of the story when I called it the Magnificent Four with John Gambling and Alistair Cook,
mm-hmm.
When we used to get together at the Five Oaks in Greenwich Village. And Charlie Kuralt was mm-hmm. in that group. I could never keep up with them drinking, believe me. And this was a constant conversation about the conversation, the ability to be able to stay in touch. And they were all famous friends. They all were. And what a hell of a group that was. John Gambling, Alistair Cook, and Charlie Kuralt.
What a privilege.
Oh, for me it was. Whoa. Without question. And there was a wide range of things they would talk about, but it was just in conversation. And it would go on for hours and hours, and I loved it. And that's a memory. That's a memory. Please.
Well, you know, I have no segue out of what we're just talking
no,
about.
No, we're just kind
I
of,
want to
we're,
continue
we're in conversation.
Conversation with friends. but have you ever heard the name Tisquantum?
Well, I thought I did, but apparently not.
Well, you know, that was his real name, but the Pilgrims called him Squanto.
Yes.
This is a story, since we our theme often on this particular broadcast
mm-hmm.
is Thanksgiving week. Many years ago, and it apparently was in 1605, as the research goes, was just beginning to be, the New World was just beginning to be explored by the, you know, great adventurers mm-hmm. of Europe. And Tisquantum was a Pawtuxet Indian. He was kidnapped by an English crew under the leadership of Captain George Weymouth. He was taken to England and exhibited as a curiosity, often being led through the streets or placed in a cage. For 9 years, Squanto endured his capture and was then allowed to return to the New World with Captain John Smith's fleet in 1614. But his freedom, Carl, was short because most of Captain Smith's fleet returned to England, but one ship did not. That was the Orion. It stayed to trade with the Indians. Its captain and crew were a little short on scruples. They re-kidnapped Squanto and several other Indians and made sail for Spain, where they sold the group to slavery. Now, Squanto was given there in Spain to some friars. They converted him to Christianity. Eventually, he escaped, made his way to England, and again returned to the New World with Captain Thomas Denier. Now, get this. 6 months later, another vessel arrived on the shores of Massachusetts. It was the Mayflower. Squanto considered it his Christian duty to greet and help these pilgrims who had arrived, and to their surprise, he welcomed them in English.
In English.
Yeah. Now, some accounts say that Squanto was instrumental in teaching the pilgrims, you know, how to live off the land, but basically he became an interpreter, and he did help plan the Thanksgiving Day in 1621. How about that?
That's fascinating. That is, I did not know that. That is fascinating. That really, really is. It tells of there are so many intriguing underlining stories in there.
Oh, indeed.
The slave trade and all of the rest, and the position of the Spaniards as opposed to the English, and so on and so forth. Absolutely fascinating. I could actually sit down and listen to a whole story about that, because it defines a period in time.
It does, yes.
And how
a cruelty of one race to another.
Without question. It always amazed me, and we have never taught this in the history books, as to the dignity of the Native Americans.
Wow.
Their attributes were not always friendly and quite terrifying.
And neither were those of the whites.
But we were essentially taking and did take their land.
Well, it's interesting that we put in our history books for us kids when we were little to learn that Columbus discovered America.
Yes.
He didn't discover anything.
He's lucky he got here.
Millions and millions of people in the North America, Central America, and South America.
That's correct.
At the time.
Yes.
I mean, millions.
Millions, and more buffalo than we can possibly count. I think there were 50 million of them at the time, that the herds would pass by in in a week, the entire herd. That's fascinating stuff to me, it is anyway. No,
it is. I mean, I think part of the problem was the fact that what the European societies had was the sword, the horse,
yes,
and disease.
Yes.
Which decimated so many of the native populations in all North, Central, and South America.
Speaking of disease, I read recently, I think it's the University of Minnesota or Wisconsin, I'm not sure which one. It's out in the northern part of the Midwest. They're going back to the Native Americans, to their blood culture, to understand how they were affected by the European diseases, to understand where man was at that time.
Is this the DNA?
Yeah.
They're going to DNA it all the way back.
Okay. To get a sense of how they were when they were affected by European disease. Can we get to that point again, which is the basis of the research? I'm not quite sure why they're doing it, but I can understand an understanding of it, because they did not have these diseases.
Do you think that the study of the DNA would in fact allow us to see what diseases that they did have,
and what diseases they contracted, because they did not always contract the European diseases?
I see.
Why not? And that's fascinating. We should know that, because there might be a key there to long-term prevention of the common cold or cancer or some other. They've gotten very deep into DNA research, and there's some fascinating elements we should really get into another topic about this. But when I heard about that study, I thought it was fascinating.
Well, we need an expert, I think, to talk about the DNA helix and what it means and how we try to understand it in simple terms today.
I think overall, though, they are now finding that going back to a point in time where these diseases were either affected you or they did not, to find out why that was, maybe the turning point.
Well, in many ways, it works for today with the Ebola crisis throughout the world.
Absolutely.
Where some people who have been exposed did not get it, and some who you didn't think were exposed did get it.
Did get it. Fascinating. Let's try to get an expert on. I'd love to talk about that topic. I think it's fascinating. I really do. And I think it's the future. I really do.
Okay.
Carl Sabatino, Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino. We're back.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-533-3091, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-533-3091. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-533-3091. That's 800-533-3091.